people that aren't me.
The three people who are going to download this podcast. Maybe four.
I'd say six.
Six.
Tops.
Whoever, depends on how many people are in the band, those are the people who are going to download it the most.
Anybody you name drop, they might download. I'll put them all, I'll tag them all.
Yep, you have to.
All right, so I'm sitting here with J.D. Miner.
Yes, sir.
J.D., where are you from?
Well, I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, but I have always claimed Bowling Green, Kentucky is my home, but I went to high school in Glasgow, if that makes any sense. But I made most of my friends, and I feel like those friends are family from Bowling Green.
So when did you move from Louisiana?
Oh, I was like...
How old were you?
3 or 4, probably.
So you probably don't really remember.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
So you went to school in Glasgow.
Yes.
At what age did you start or pick up an instrument or start getting interested?
15, I think.
And was that guitar? Or?
Guitar, yeah. Well, I went to a Christian concert, saw this band called the Newsboys, mm-hmm. and I saw the guitar player, and I was like, huh, he looks like he's having a lot of fun. So I was like, I'm going to play guitar. And it is a lot of fun.
Turned out you were right. All right. So you're 15, you go to watch the Newsboys at a Christian concert, and you're like, I want to pick up guitar. So what was your first guitar?
It was an Ibanez. It was all white. I can't remember the
model number. Yeah,
I don't remember none of that. And I thought, I got to get rid of this guitar. But I wish I'd have kept it. That thing was pretty awesome.
Did anybody in your family play music or sing? Or
nope.
No, just you, right?
It's been a struggle. Me and my brother.
Right.
As far as I know. I mean, there could be people from way back that played music, but... No.
Nobody close.
Just me and him.
All right. It. So,
and I made him play. I was like, you're learning bass.
And your brother is?
Chris Miner.
Chris Miner. And he's your younger or older brother?
Younger by 3 years.
There you go. So you start playing guitar. At the time you started playing guitar, did you want to sing as well? Or
no.
You just wanted to play guitar?
Just wanted to play guitar. I pictured myself a lead player, and then I tried to learn leads, and that was too hard. So I'm like, I'll just be a rhythm player.
Right.
Singing became a thing because I'd moved to Louisville for about a year, and me and my brother both moved to Louisville, and he was in a band, and they didn't need a guitar player, they needed a singer, and I just really wanted to play in a band, another band so bad, so I was like, fuck it, I'll try it.
Right.
And I tried it. I was terrible, but I liked it. I was like, huh, because I don't know, guitar playing, it's a release, it's all levels, like drums, bass, guitar, it's a level, but singing is like, man, it's like an ultimate release. But I didn't get along with the guitar player. I don't know, probably because I was immature. I don't know. He was immature, probably, sure.
So how old would you have been at the time?
Oh, like early 20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when I ended up, I came back to Bowling Green. I was like, well, that's when I got into the Fountain Square Sinners. That's Ed Fred was the one who was like, we're not going to have a front man. Because I wanted to go back to just playing guitar. He's like, you're going to sing. So it basically... Why I sing and how I sing now is all because of Ed Fred. He's the one that kind of taught me how to sing. Because I was always like, my favorite singers were like Eddie Vedder and, you know, Layne Staley and people like that. And I was trying to sing like them, but that's not how it works. You sing whatever you can do, that's what you do.
Right.
And that's where, and he was like, you're like the guy from DRI, or you're like the guy from Rage. You need to do like that. And I thought he was crazy, you know.
Right. What was the first song you learned on guitar?
It was a cover song by a band called Black Cat Bone covered, I think it was a Johnny Winter song called Cookbook, but I learned it because my teacher Kenny Weber, who owned Backstage Music Company in Glasgow, he taught me that because I came in there because, you know, your first guitar lesson, you don't know crap about guitar. Like, I want to learn Metallica.
Right, yeah.
No, you're not learning Metallica your first day. He's like, how about you learn this? And he taught it to me, and then I heard it later. But yeah, that's the first song I ever learned how to play.
Yeah, so you took guitar lessons.
Yes, then. For a little while. And I learned, read some punk magazines, like, all you need is 3 chords. So I was like, oh yeah, that's all I need. So I just learned 3 chords and quit lessons. Like
3 chords
idiot.
And a capo.
Yes, that's it. And I'm still doing that today.
So what's the name of the first band that you ever played in before you could play at a 21 and up establishment?
Oh, okay. There's been two. The very first band that never played a show, but just played in a basement a couple times was called Starship Cowboys.
Okay.
I named it.
And how old were you when you were in Starship Cowboys?
I was in high school. So I think I was in ninth grade, probably. Freshman. Okay. Maybe. Yeah, that sounds right.
And
maybe
you were 8th grade. Were you just the guitar
just
player?
Just guitar.
Okay.
And I broke my amp like the first day because I was being crazy, standing on my amp and kicking it over. I think I broke my amp. I was the worst person in that band.
All right.
By far.
What was your second band?
Second band, Big Orange Cuda. We practiced.
What's it called?
Big Orange Cuda, like the car. Like
like a Hemi Cuda.
Yes.
Gotcha.
But we practiced like four times a week. I think we played like one or two shows at like a pavilion at like a park or something.
In Glasgow?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like five people showed up.
How old were you then?
That was all the way from ninth grade until my junior year. So
you're pretty into Big Orange Cuda.
Yeah. It's all I had. It's all we had was practice. There were no.
Growing up.
There was no Tid Balls back then. Of course, couldn't have played it. There was no.
Right, yeah.
I think there was like maybe one club in Bowling Green. And of course, we were too young. Like, there weren't any bands. Like, Luther was the only band I was around. Maybe
Luther?
Sixth Floor. There was not many bands back then.
Right.
Nowhere to play.
It's kind of like the Armory show stuff here in town.
That was barely a thing then, too.
Yes. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Got to play a couple of those in other bands much later on. But yeah,
right.
That was like, if you got on one of those, that was all you did that 1 year.
So what was the first band that you, was it, did you go from Big Orange Cuda to Fountain Square Sinners? Or
see, Big Orange Cuda, and then it was a band called My Them. That was the band in Louisville, and we played a few places.
Okay.
That's where I started the singing. And I'm glad no one had studios and stuff like that in their houses back then.
Right.
I'm glad I didn't record my vocals then. Because I've heard a few tapes recently. I'm like, it's terrible.
All right. After My Them?
After My Them would be Fountain Square Center.
That's when you moved back to Bowling Green.
Yeah. There were a few jam things, but there was never like shows and stuff.
I got you. All right. So you come back, you do Fountain Square Sinners. Who's in Fountain Square Sinners?
The first version was me, Ed Fred, Wayne Souders, and then my brother was still in Louisville at the time, and he ended up moving down. He joined Sinners for like a little while, and we were a four piece. He was playing guitar, which it was weird. Like, he was playing the guitar like a bass.
Uh-huh.
And so eventually,
drop D stuff or
nah, he was
no
just
power
like
chords.
It's like he's meant to be a bass player,
right?
And so and then Wayne was gone, so then Chris went to bass, and we played for a long time. And then, you know, as bands do, everything fell apart. But while we were doing Fountain Square Sinners, we were doing a band called Serotonin Band on the side, which was me, Chris, and McMillan, which eventually became Hungry Ears.
Right.
But the Serotonin Band was more of a jammy band because Fountain Square Sinners was like thrash, punk, metal.
So you did Fountain Square Sinners, and then what did you do after that?
Just full time, because Serotonin Band was a side deal. But once the Sinners fell apart, we just took that to the next level. And when we kind of took what we were doing in the Sinners and Serotonin Band and combined them, so it became a little more punk. And then we changed the name once we actually went in the studio. And then we added Melissa. No, Melissa came. We already had an EP out. Melissa came when we did our first full length album. But yeah, that's.
Okay, and who is Melissa?
Melissa Mikulajic. Sorry.
Say her name again.
Melissa Mikulajic.
Okay.
And
what did she play?
Clarinet, and then she eventually moved to keyboards. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty rocking. I had to convince Chris and McMillan about the clarinet because they were like, what?
Well,
like,
that's an odd choice.
It is odd.
Basically, at that time, punk band.
Oh, yeah. Glasgow, small town. I'd seen her before, but she's much younger than me. I was dating a girl. And she was like, you should hear Melissa. She's a good singer. And I was into it. Like, yeah, because I was wanting a female vocal to go along with what we were doing, to kind of take the edges off what we were doing.
Yeah.
So she came over to the house. We'd already been hanging out because we'd become friends at this point. And I was like, would you like to come sing with us? And she'd never been in a band before. She's like, yeah. I was like, but the rules is everybody has to play an instrument. I was like, do you play anything? She's like, well, I played clarinet in band. I was like, that's it. That's what you're doing. So that's how that happened.
So you did, So basically, you just really wanted a girl to sing.
Yeah.
And you liked the way she sang. And you're like, do you play anything?
Absolutely.
If she'd have been like...
you're not going to stand up front and be an asshole. You got to fucking play something.
Well, if she'd been like, well, I play spoons pretty good.
I'd been into it.
You'd been into it.
Been hard to mic that, though, but...
What year would that have been?
When we got the...
When Hungry Ears started.
I think that... I'm going to say 09. Maybe 10. I can't remember. That album, that full length came out in 10, so... Probably 08, 09.
Right.
When she was with us.
Okay.
I'm sure it didn't move that quick with recording.
Right.
Back then, monies were scarce.
Sure. Was the first one the self-titled, is that the one with Betty on it?
They both have Betty. The first one's like, the full length has like, I think we re-recorded all those songs but two of them. Like there's two instrumentals that we left on the EP and we just re-recorded everything. Because I like the way Melissa sang on it and I like the way she played on it. So I wanted to capture those versions.
Right. Where did you guys record that at?
Well, now it's called Plot 13 Productions. Mike Etherton.
Yeah.
Recorded there. Both albums.
Okay.
Yeah. Good job. He does a really good job.
He does.
Killer guitar tone. Love it. So, I was listening to that the other day. I was like, man, this sounds really good. I think one of the first, like maybe fifth album he'd recorded. And it's just like,
oh, really?
Good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Early on. In that setup, I don't really know.
So for anyone listening, I saw he's about to be a dad.
That's right.
And
that's right.
If you want to record where these things were recorded, I put on Facebook, hurry up.
Yes. About to be tied down.
Hurry up while Mr. Etherton has time. So you Hungry Ears, and then what?
I was at Hungry Ears, did a bunch of side bands, did with Mr. Etherton, did a... Rage Against the Machine tribute band, which was called Fistful of Steel. And then we toured a lot of places with that. That was interesting because it was like we were treated like we were Rage Against the Machine in some places.
Right.
Like got paid well, got hotel rooms. Like it was awesome.
Right.
Then played Dick Hammer for a little while, which was also with Etherton, which I guess I'm allowed to say that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you played with Dead Dick Hammer.
I don't
want to
give his
alias away. Yeah.
And then, let me think, what else? There was that band I played in, a band called Schools. Played with them for a little while.
I've heard of that band. Yep. With me, actually. Yeah
absolutely. And I feel like there was another one in there, but it probably didn't take off, I'm sure. There was a moment when I was like 5-6 bands deep.
Right.
and it makes me exhausted now thinking about
doing
that. And
you're in a different band now.
Absolutely. Two-piece band called Dos Cobros with Josh Hines.
Let me ask you this. What is your favorite moment playing music?
Oh, man. There's a bunch.
Or name a few if you can't pick one. If you can't pick one, but what's your favorite moment playing music?
Like, it's like the last, we did a Hungry Ears reunion. When was that? December. And it's like you forget when people like know, people who always come to the shows and they learn the songs, you forget. I forgot what that was like because it's kind of been a while since I really started playing. Because once Hungry Ears kind of fell apart, I kind of took a break from playing. And, you know, just hearing people sing the words, it's like, man, that's what's up. Like, that's the shit right there. That's great. Just the camaraderie and brotherhood of playing with people you like being around.
Right.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of nights.
Because there's no money in it, so there's a lot of good, a lot of feel-good stuff
in it. You're
going
to have to enjoy it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. What is the worst show you ever had?
Oh, God. That's a longer list. Let's see.
Or one of the worst shows.
Oh, there's one of the worst shows I ever played with. You were there.
Okay.
We played at the Springwater one time. Our singer knocked himself out. Fell into a piano. Our bass player started eating his bass with his teeth and threw that down.
It's true.
So me and you're on keys. Me, you, holding it down with the drummer. That was a terrible show. Photos were cool.
It looked like we were killing it.
Yes, it looked like we had a great show.
It did.
That was a bad show. The first Fountain Square Center show was probably bad because I'd borrowed. I don't know why I did this. I don't usually do this kind of things, but I'd borrowed Mike Natcher's 212 cabinet, and I was running like this hot rotted JMP Marshall head, which was Ed Fred's, and blew his speakers, like three songs in, blew his damn speakers. And I felt like such garbage. And I've tried like for years, like, man, let me buy that. Let me help you. Let me pay for that. And right. He was such a nice guy. He was like, nah, man. He's like,
oh, Natcher?
Yeah, Natcher.
Oh, he's a good dude, yeah.
Never would let me pay for it. But I felt like an idiot then.
What is your favorite place to play in Bowling Green?
Oh, Tidball's for sure.
Tidball's for
home.
Sure.
It's definitely home.
And if you can, let me hear a list of everywhere you've ever played in Bowling Green.
In Bowling Green. Oh, let's see. Hilltop Cafe is coming straight out the gate. I don't know why. that was pretty terrible. Lots of house parties. Pirate House. We used to have house parties above the Brewing Company when the Fountain Square Centers lived up there. That was fun until somebody... We would have a keg, and how we'd get away with it without having a liquor license is we would charge like $5, and it was all you could drink for free, but you have to check IDs. And that was great for a long time. Then somebody stole the keg and threw it off the roof, and it messed up the porch downstairs. Luckily, it didn't hit anybody. Like, Jesus. Someone will always ruin something.
Sure.
If you're ever in a situation like this is just too good, too perfect, that's not like an establishment, it's going to get ruined. let's see.
Okay, where else do you play?
I'm trying to think.
Do you ever play like Bruco?
Yes, played there.
That's what I'm saying. Like you played. So did you ever play?
Never played Spencer's Coffee House. I've never played there, but I've played just about everywhere else.
Played State Street.
Yes, yeah. a bunch
Ellis
of times.
Play, State
that was
kind of
like the first place. It took a long time to get into Tidball's. It was kind of like you could play a Tuesday night and just like, oh God, I got to work in the morning.
Right,
that kind of situation, but. Eventually worked our way up. And
how did you get your first gig? Did you go to open mic at Tidball's?
Yes, I think so. But I think this is even before. Well, they would do open mic, but this was kind of like a Tuesday night band audition thing. And you could pull anybody in that night. You could get a weekend gig.
Why do you play music?
Why do I play music? I feel like if I didn't play music, I would do bad things. I don't know. Like I need the release.
So you do it as more like a... Therapy.
Therapy, yes.
Yeah, like that's a therapeutic kind of thing.
Absolutely. Because I know I need it. Because I did take, after the Hungriest, I took a break. And it was just like, I was gonna try not to play music. But I was like, I got to get back into the game.
This is going back to us being old guys. But if you were to...
Seasoned.
What we're very seasoned. Maybe over-seasoned.
Burnt.
A little burnt up, a little blackened. If you could go back and tell your 21-year-old self, play these places, do this, focus on this, what would you say?
I'll tell myself to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I was, early on, I was very like, I see it now, but I was very like, super serious. Even though I was playing punk rock music, I was super serious and was just like, no, we have to do this, got to play in front of this person, got to like, I was always like a mission. Want to get a record deal, want to do this, want to do that. Going back, I'd be like, man, I had fun for sure, but yeah. I would have just drilled that home a little more. Have fun, don't take it so seriously.
Right. What was your, like, you know?
On my mind,
who were you digging on when you were a kid?
I wanted to be Pearl Jam, I wanted to be Metallica, but the Rage thing kind of happened when people would tell me, like, you kind of sound like that guy. I was like, well, mate, and then when I was singing like that, it's like, oh, well, that's easier than trying to sound like other people. So
right.
It's just I kind of embraced that. But really, like, going back to why I brought Melissa in, my whole, like, I remember it. Now that we're talking about this, I'm starting to remember all this stuff. Like,
okay, good.
I was big into Sly and the Family Stone at one time. And my ultimate vision for Hungry Ears at one time was to be like a Sly and the Family Stone type band. Like, I wanted to have multiple singers. Like, that sounds crazy. If anybody's ever heard Hungry, he's like, I don't hear that
it
shit.
It doesn't sound like it at all, to be honest with you.
That was, like, my whole thing. Like, I wanted to have, like, keyboards. And, like, I felt like we kind of got close, not with the sound, but when we had the full 6-7 people.
Well, I was going to say, like, on, like, Failure to Speak and stuff, you literally had it sectioned out where there was, well, yeah, like, the girls had a part, and you had a part that played off their part.
Yes.
And they're singing harmony. Like,
that's
it was
close
a separated thing.
That was the closest I ever got to it. But, like, Sly Stone is probably, like, one of those bands, like, you listen, you're like, I would love to be in that band. But I'm never good enough to play. I could play them parts, but, man, I would love to be in something like that. But yeah. I forgot about that, but that was kind of where it was at.
When do you think you will stop playing music?
When I die.
When you die.
Yeah. I mean, I play. I mean, that's just general. Like, I know there'll be one day I'll be too old to get on stage, but I mean, just general playing guitar, recording. Like, I love recording. Like, I wish I had the skills to really record. That is a lot of fun, like producing and helping get a song. Like, that's, I really enjoyed that when I was doing, like you said, Failure to Speak. Like, we went in the studio. I was like, that's when I was coming up with ideas. Like, oh, if you guys sang this part and we played this part here, like, I really enjoyed that.
Oh, it's also the best when you have people around you that can go, oh, okay, I get what you're saying. I can do whatever you're going to say.
Oh, yeah, that band was for sure. Like, I realized with that band, everybody was so talented. I'm like, I got to step my game up now.
Right,
everybody's so good in this band.
When you find yourself just singing parts like, go da-da-da-da, they're like, that's E flat. Sure it is.
Absolutely.
Go for it. Yeah, whatever you said that was, that's what that was.
You're playing the wrong scale. Yeah, I don't know what that is, but if you could show me real quick.
Just tell me what key this is in. Yeah, that's awesome.
But I do love that we've brought it back around to the original four. When we do reunions now, it's like, well, people hit me up like, can Hungriest play a show? I'm like, I don't know. Is McMillan in town? Like, that's my go-to. And if he's around, we do it. So it's just home. Like, I feel like that other version of Hungriest could have really been called something else. Cause it was Hungriest, but it was different. And it could have been another band. But I love all, like, I wish, which I don't think this would ever happen, but I would love to have a show one time where we do all the different versions,
like, of generations.
Yes.
What do you want other people to get from your music?
Okay. I want them to get rocked. No. I guess the same thing. Just that release and enjoyment. Just like, because we have a couple funny songs now, and it's just like, I want them to laugh. I want them to just enjoy it and get a good release too. Like, you know, when you listen to a good band, you're like, yeah. I get what he's saying.
What do you write about?
Oh, man. I mean, the cliche thing is a lot of my songs are about women. You know, a lot of songs back in the day, for sure.
So do you think you'll find yourself writing songs now about the new baby girl?
Oh, absolutely. I have not written any new lyrics since she came. So I'm like, I feel like that's going to be something different.
Well, it's got to be.
Right? You know, like, well, lately I've been writing about old school pro wrestling. Like, we've written a song about the Macho Man, Rowdy Piper, the Legion of Doom. Who else? There's one more in there. But yeah, we're kind of like, and I've been writing about that kind of stuff. I've kind of been going different, and I've been writing a song about, you ever heard of the Black Eyed Kids? You know what that's about?
I don't know.
It's about, you should look it up. It's real creepy stuff. It's kind of scary stuff. about that.
Word of the Google.
Yeah, look that up. I don't know. It's like it's along with like Slender Man and stuff like that. Like, black eyed kids are like these creepy kids. If you ever have creepy kids show up at your doors with black eyes, don't open that, because they will take your soul, whatever.
Okay.
Right. I guess like fake songs, I guess, in a way. I don't know.
Fake songs.
Or fictitious? Is that what that means?
No, fake songs is good. What do you mean fake songs, though?
Like, not stuff about me at all, really.
So
like,
you want to keep your stuff private, basically.
And some of there's a Dos Cobra song where I wrote about, like, some of the road trips we took in Hungriest, like the fun stuff, but like a little bit embellished, like getting chased by police. That didn't happen.
Sure.
But, you know, like the wild stuff we had, the wild fun we had, you know.
Well, I find myself, like, if I try to write something personal, I can't do it. I can, but I disguise it to the utmost, right? Because I want to get it out of me, but I don't want you to know what I'm saying.
Right, man. But
there's also, like, you know, speaking of McMillan will be like, if McMillan sings a song about going to the grocery store, it'd be like, he will literally say, I went to the IGA Express. Yes. I needed milk. I got milk. Yeah. I love milk. And I just can't. I can't bring that level of honesty
because
I don't want you to know.
That's why
it's not because I'm doing anything wrong. It's just, it just feels like, oh, it's mine. It's not yours. It's none of your business, you know?
I think that's why I look up to him. I love the way he writes. Like, I've always have since Temple Hill days. I always loved the way he writes songs. I'm going to retract one of my answers. Not about women, relationships. I'm not a crazy womanizer. Just like past relationships.
Love you, sir.
I love you too, man. You're my favorite.
Thank you very much.
Dude, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And that was JD. Oh, last question. JD Minor.
Yes.
What's your name?
JD Miner.
Nope. What is your name?
Jonathan Daryl Miner.
That's my Daryl. All right. Thank you very much for your time,
man,
sir.
Thank you.